San Diego, California. The offices of Legend Films. Early 2006.
Hey, Mr. Nelson. Getting some coffee?
Ah, please. Mr. Nelson. It's Mike. And don't look me in the eye when you say it. Your name again was...
Connor.
Right. Sorry about that. Been a lot of new faces over the past few days.
Well, how was your first weekend in San Diego?
Well, still getting settled. Miss my wife and boys. What'd you do?
Well, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I went to a fortune teller.
Really?
Yeah, I don't do it very often, but I was like, well, I'm turning 25 soon. Maybe they'll have some sort of idea whether I'm on the right path or something.
Well, what'd they have to say? Tell you to go back to school, marry your girlfriend?
No, none of that. It was mostly about you.
Huh. Well, we got a busy morning. I should,
Yeah, she said in 14 years we were going to have a podcast together.
What is a podcast?
I guess it's like a radio show, but she said we were going to be talking about books.
Oh, really? You a Woodhouse fan? C.S. Lewis?
Dave Barry, mostly. But she said we were going to read Harry Potter fanfic.
What is fanfic?
It's like where a fan writes their own version of a popular story, usually sophomoric, riddled with spelling errors, overtly sexual at times. She said we were going to be two middle-aged dudes reading something a teenage goth girl wrote.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very good use of my time. You doing it, I can kind of see.
She said this story actually gets published sometime next month. Harry's a vampire, Dumbledore wears an Avril Lavigne cape to a My Chemical Romance show, Neville now goes by Dracula or sometimes Dracola. Also, we've collectively spent months of our lives watching the Harry Potter movies and making jokes about, like, blast-ended scroots.
What is a...
How the hell should I know what a blast-ended scroot is? I don't even know what Wikipedia is yet, let alone fandom-specific wikis.
Well, it's been... Great talking to you, Connor, but I have work to do. And
and the mascot of the podcast is an inflatable fetish cow.
My God! Why am I doing this in the future? Ah, I know. It must make us incredibly famous. How many million people listen to each episode?
A couple of thousand, she said. We also read the sequel to Willow, and that knocked out all but the diehards.
This can't be. What drove me to this? Oh no! Oh, God, what happened to my family?
No. They're fine. The boys graduated college. One of them's married. He's been a guest on the podcast. So has, Bridget, was it?
Oh, no. No, I can't let this happen.
No, she said the wheels are in motion. Unstoppable forces beyond our control, etc.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I know, right? No. Kind of wish she told me that, like, I'd invent TikTok, whatever that is.
Well, if there's nothing we can do... Want some coffee? I hate these Mr. Coffee makers, so I brought in my own setup. It creates a vacuum to get the best flavor.
Wow. Yeah, sure. I'll take a cup.
Wow.
That is a hell of a rig.
Well. Here we are.
What a flashback.
That was a long time ago.
It was. That was another era. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought this is where we'd end up, aside from that one fortune teller, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And where are we, and what is this?
This is 372 pages we'll never get back, and we're across the country from each other, but this is Connor Lestoka and Mike Nelson joining you to talk about bad books. Our 13th
yep.
book, appropriately, I would say.
I mentioned this off air. Book? Is it a book? What has to be there to qualify as a book?
I don't know if it was if it was the exact same thing. If it was a trade paperback I have in front of me with 180 pages and they were all blank, like John Cage 433. Would that be a book? Than this?
I guess it's the, is a hot dog a sandwich argument. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so this is the promised My Immortal, a work of fanfic,
Harry Potter based somewhat. Lots of band based stuff too.
Yeah, it's Harry Potter based in the sense that, you know, there are characters named after Harry Potter characters, and but some of them aren't.
Yes, sometimes they're named after characters, and then sometimes they're named after adjacent characters, things that are probably meant to be the characters. But we'll get to that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, we should dive right in. The main question after we sort of read this first 19 chapters of this book was sort of like, what was this person's intent? What was you know, XX bloody wrist 666 XXX's intent posting this? And I guess we can sort of weigh in on that after the fact. But people were sort of like, people sent these articles and stuff, and I guess there was a little bit of a scandal 3 years ago, and so we should probably just like talk about that up front, because it's, you know, it's a plot thickened sort of thing. People were sending it in sort of like as like, this is definitive proof, and it's like, well, if you read the article, there's absolutely nothing that indicates that that is the case whatsoever.
What are you referring? I mean, I know we talked about in the intro thing is like, is this a real person?
And right.
Does it relate to that?
Well, it's sort of like who was that guy, James Frey, who was on Oprah?
Twenty years ago.
He plagiarized
or made something up.
Yeah, he made up his biography, autobiography. Okay. We sort of have something like that going on, I think. This is all very based on loose reads of these BuzzFeed articles. But it appears that in September of 2017, imprint of St. Martin's Press, who is legitimate as far as I can tell, Wednesday Books.
Yeah, quite. That's like a Cadillac brand, I believe, St. Right. Martin's Press.
Well, yeah, so they announced a book called Under the Same Stars by an author named Rose Christo, and it had a real designed cover and everything. It was going to tell the story of her growing up in a foster care system and, I guess, the search for her brother. I guess they got separated in the foster care system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I'm sure that could be a moving and interesting book, but what got the attention from it was that she also claimed she wrote My Immortal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why would anyone commit such a rash act?
But so they had a sort of an FAQ on her Tumblr, of course, and one of the questions was, you know, was My Immortal genuine or a troll fic? Why did you write it? And her response to that was, I am not answering these questions at this time, just because I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to. If Macmillan says I can, then I will. I'm not trying to get in deeper trouble. I don't know what the deeper trouble means.
Hmm.
But then, so people were like, so this is the person, and, you know, they were speculating that it was just her, you know, trolling everybody, but less than a month later, St. Martin's pulled the book because she wrote, I did something pretty stupid during the publication process. I didn't want my family's real names getting out, largely because some of the things that happened during childhood were embarrassing. I wanted everybody to have privacy, so when it came time to provide documentation, I altered photocopies to disguise their names. So they pulled this, I guess, just because they were like, well, if you lied about this, like, we have no idea what else you could have lied about in an autobiographical book. That sort of is important to know that you didn't. And it says, in response to BuzzFeed News' request for comment, St. Martin said, Wednesday Books has canceled publication. We have no further comment. And the author also did not immediately respond to a request for comment. So, like, you know, whether she was telling the truth about that in the first place, I guess, is now sort of impossible to verify.
Well, what's your best guess as we head into this thing? I find it hard to believe that it's not a real person.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very, very deeply odd thing to do. And people do many, many odd things all the time. So, but if I was, you know, staking anything on it, it seems like a real person. But obviously, a person trolling you would try to seem like a real person. So, right. I don't know.
You would stake on it. That sort of, that, those are the things that give me a little bit of pause as we go forward. These sort of sometimes almost too perfect misspellings and stuff like that. But that make me think, you know, that there was some humorous intent. But there are other things that are just so, like, you know how when they tracked down Ted Kaczynski It was because his brother was like, you know, there's just like some things that my brother would always bring up around Thanksgiving. And there's echoes of that in here, like just these patterns of speech or whatever that he would always go back to. And they saw that in his manifesto. There's yep. things in this that are just the repeated beats of the clothing descriptions or how people are always like running into a room or suddenly running in. Like those things are always so consistent and so not supposed to be funny that makes me think that there's, I don't know, a little bit of, you know, maybe the steak jokes are funny, but the other stuff is real and they're just putting these jokes into it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell. Although I would say, given our experience with filmmakers who try to make a bad movie and and try to add quote-unquote funny things in or try to make it look like a bad movie, I can't recall the title of it. It's from maybe 6 years ago, maybe a little longer. There was someone made a movie that circulated a lot, and we screened it, and I think I said within a couple minutes, like, oh, well, this is just... This is a troll.
I think it was called After Last Season.
Yeah. Wow. Good pull.
Then they claimed it was a $6 million budget, and it was clearly a, you know, $6 budget.
Yeah, but it was meant to be, right? It was a put on. It was fake.
We never heard much about it after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying that it's, you know, I think there are tells, and again, this is impenetrable, but here we are. We're reading it.
Right.
So.
Yes. But yeah, I think we should probably just, you know, get into it, and we can if we come across those tells, we can discuss them as we go. But
sure,
let's kick it off. So in case people aren't reading, it is, as we said, a Harry Potter fanfic that came out in 2006, and I had to look it up. 2006 was the year the second Twilight book was published. And the movies came out in 2008. So the main character, many other characters, are vampires. But she was sort of, you know, ahead of the curve, really, on the vampire mania. I mean, I guess, you know, Twilight was huge, but it wasn't like, you know, Twilight had not yet become something that, like, you know, 45-year-old women were reading at the pool because they had, you know, gotten wind of it. It was still, I think, probably the intended sort of tween young adult audience at that point in time.
Yeah, and I mean, the movie wasn't out. And remember, the movie was a long shot.
Yeah.
I don't think that they expected it to be... There's not a lot of money in that first one.
No, and, definitely not.
Yeah, and so that's odd to think of now that you look back on the Twilight verse, to think that the first one was like, I don't know, this may not fly.
Yeah, it was like a, you know, maybe we'll kick off a, you know, another Fantastic Four movie, and maybe that'll inspire a whole franchise. Nope, all right, we'll try again in 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where to start. I mean, the opening paragraph is pretty much, there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, let's get into it. Go ahead.
All right, no punctuation on this. Hi, my name is Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven, Ravenway, and I have long ebony black hair. That's how I got my name. So I'd like to stop there if
sure.
I could, and there's more to say, but how do you... So the hair came first before the name. How does that work?
Well, you know, there are two options. Either she was born with long black ebony hair.
That does happen. I mean.
Or her parents did the thing where they like waited till she was old enough to talk and let her sort of name herself or like, you know, they waited for the hair to grow in. I remember the Olympic skier Peekaboo Street. They let her name herself.
Yep.
So that's option B.
My former MST cast member and writer Josh Weinstein told me that he went to school with hippie parents, let the kid name himself at 8 or whatever.
Oh dear,
it's the best name ever, Pirate Dog.
Oh my
exactly,
God.
Exactly what you'd expect.
Oh man, you sort of have fishing tours in Key West or something with a name like that.
Oh, you have to be related to Matthew McConaughey to have a name like that. But that's great, isn't it? Pirate
yeah,
Dog.
That's incredible.
I'd take it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that could be. She named herself that after getting the hair.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call the children up until that point?
Hey, you? I don't know.
Boy? Girl? I don't know. Anyway, so go on.
Purples with purple streaks and red tips that reach my mid back, and icy blue eyes like limpid tears. And a lot of people, I look like Amy Lee. Author's note: if you don't know who she is, get the hell out of here. And so, did you know who that was before the?
I did not.
So you? Oh well. So you kept reading in defiance.
I had never heard of this person. I just found out there's a recently published article that I sent you that she's back, and she hasn't aged a day in 17 years was the title of it. I don't know why clickbaits like to do that, but I mean, she looked fine. She has obviously aged, but whatever.
Yeah.
No, I've not heard of this. This is the lead singer of what?
Evanescence.
Evanescence.
Yeah, Evanescence was, I guess, you know, it was 2003 when this came out. So they were one of those bands that was omnipresent enough that, you know, they penetrated my radar somehow, like, you know, playing in grocery stores or, you know, on the radio in 2004. So they somehow their one song was sort of like Linkin Park. If the singer was, you know, a woman who was a good singer, and then there was a guy rapping sort of behind her. So as bad as that sounds, it was probably worse.
The article that I sent you did say in as a parenthetical under her picture, poster girl for the MySpace goth demographic. Or something like that. So on brand,
right? And you know, I'm sure that if you had to bank on our author here being a strong MySpace user with a, you know, custom glittery star background and Amy Lee in her top eight, I think you could safely empty your IRA to do that.
That's right. By the way, I would just note parenthetically, I love when the intro, hi, my name is blah, 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 and I have long. Those two facts seem wildly unrelated and don't need to be joined by a conjunction, but there we are.
Yeah, but yeah, as far as character introductions, I thought it was masterful, because it goes on to then say, I'm not related to Gerard Way, but I wish I was, because he's a major fucking hottie. So I mean, right away, so you don't know who he is either. He's the lead singer of MCR, who plays a major role in this book, much bigger than I ever expected they would be.
Huge.
But yeah, she wishes she was related to him because he's so hot. So I just wrote down masterful.
Lots of questionable hotness attributed in this thing, but we'll get to each one as we go along.
She says that she's a vampire, mm-hmm. and she's also a witch, and she goes to a magic school called Hogwarts. So I just thought it was interesting that she sort of identifies as a vampire first in her hierarchy. Like, you know, like someone is the type of thing where it's like a bumper sticker that's like, you know, I'm a Celtics fan first and something a second. Like,
right.
But so and we're going to have to parse the hierarchy, sort of the Venn diagram, because she is a wizard, and the wizards, for the most part, seem fine that there are a surprising amount of vampires within them. They coexist, even as the vampires are drinking human blood. I don't know if it's muggle blood or what, but there's also Satanists who factor in here, which seems to be a deal breaker for a lot of people, even though, like, you know, the wizards and witches, as we sort of pointed out during all the Harry Potter riff tracks, we don't know how, you know, God factors into there, even though they're taking off Christmas break type of thing.
It's a confused worldview. Yes, that's for sure.
Anyway, so that comes up. So I think that Satanists are, in fact, a subset of vampires. Not all vampires are Satanists. Not all wizards are Satanists. And but even though some of the wizards are vampires.
Right. I never made that Venn diagram very clear in my own mind. So thank you for clearing that up. When you got to the mention of Hot Topic, I buy all my clothes from Hot Topic, or I love Hot Topic, uh-huh. and I buy all my clothes from there. That, I mean, I guess a person who uses MySpace and listens to Evanescence or whatever, I guess that's, I mean, that makes sense, but it did seem to me like a little tip of the, like, all right, is this real? I don't know. So I'm just bringing that up. It seems a little on the nose.
But. It was the fact that it only exists as a sort of, you know, reference point that was probably already played out by the first time I heard it to make fun of people is, you know, who knows. But then again, this was 2006. I don't think I heard about it till probably a year or two later as a, as we addressed earlier, guy in his mid-20s at that point in time. It wasn't someplace.
That's true.
I was...
Yeah, we wouldn't. Right, right. We wouldn't have used that as a punchline in 2006 yet. So, yeah.
But it's as we meet her, it is simultaneously snowing and raining. So I'm not sure what is happening in this. It's a very alarming weather system that is almost continuously happening at Hogwarts in this. And she puts up her middle finger at some preps. And
preps are she has a very low view of preps.
And they're essentially like the in the Harry Potter world, there's the Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws who are they're always there but not really there, you know. They're like they sort of play that Eric Stoltz role in Anaconda. That's what the preps do. They get no representation. They get no agency in this. They're just there for her to, you know, put up her middle finger at, as she always describes it as.
Right, it's a character trait for her. There is no real prep that is examined. There's no character called, you know, who we then dig into what exactly is a prep. It's just a you know, reason for her to spit and put up her middle finger. So that's it.
They're the enemy in a book where there is a clear defined enemy who is, you know, Voldemort type of thing.
Right, right. What do you make of the author's note, by the way?
The ones at the beginning of the chapters, or the ones that are sort of
the ones at the beginning of the chapters and in the middle of it. What's going on there so the ones at the beginning of the chapter, I confess it's kind of like the songs in Lord of the Rings. I'm skipping that.
Yeah.
I'm admitting that. I'm because they're very, very difficult to read.
They're extremely hard to read.
And I don't think they're doing a lot of good. So, but what do you make of them? Well, is this an imaginary critic in her head?
Well, see, I think this is probably a convention of fanfiction.net would be my guess. I bet that there are probably like a set aside place for author's notes at the beginning of this because, yeah, like you said, they're very hard to parse because of the internet slang and everything that's in there. But she's taking the opportunity to like call out her haters, to defend the people who have given her a good review, sort of like how, you know, the sex man on those videos would thank the one person who had liked his video, and he would tell all the other people to go to hell. But
you might have to explain sex man. He
was a guy with
can't just drop that.
It's pretty much the equivalent of this, really. There was a guy who had a YouTube channel named Pruane2 Forever that we somehow came across. He was probably 12-year-old, and he had these foul mouthed reviews. I went as him for Halloween one year.
Oh, life well lived.
Saying that in retrospect sounds like a weird thing to do, but yeah, he was pretty much the guy equivalent of this author.
Yes.
He was into, you know, Linkin Park, 50 Cent, South Park, violent video games, and
I guess that alone, the Pruane2 gives credence to this
to it being a real person. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it does exist. We've seen the you're right.
Yeah.
That's just the male version.
Yeah, if Tim and Eric had been off screen, you know, feeding him his lines, you would say, yep, that makes sense just as well.
Who did he? Oh, he had 50 Cent.
Yeah, he had
was on one of his right.
It was a
some sort of major coup. He just. And literally, he had no views or anything. It was just our little obsession.
I mean, I think he was getting, I think, you know, 8 to 20,000 views maybe on this.
Yeah, I mean.
Exclusively from people telling him to, like, you know, go kill himself. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But yeah, one day, so after, you know, a year or two of doing this, I also bought Pruane2Forever.com and would post the videos there.
Again, a life well lived.
But at some point in time, I like saw the latest video he uploaded where it's like, 50 Cent talking, and then it pans over and he's next to him on like a rooftop in New York. And I think I pretty much kicked the door to your office open to like, you know, sound the klaxons that this had happened. But anyway, we have a lot to discuss. It speaks more to this being more believable than you'd think. But yeah, she has these author's notes. They're written. I thought it was a Liverpoolian type of accent. I don't know what it is, but you know, them Gothics are, you know, nipping down for a spot of tea, Because she says, like, thanks for the likes, Raven, and I'll be here to kick it with you. And, like, it's very sort of a weird British accent.
I'd like to say that your Cockney accent, I'll put it right up there with Dick Van Dyke's in, as the chimney sweep in Mary Poppins.
That's known for being accurate, right? That was like...
Wow, I want more of that.
No,
that was not enough.
But yeah, so I was ignoring them too. There's some nasty stuff in them, but there is a bit of backstory in them because she sort of shouts out her friend Raven a bit, but later on they do have a spat and it does impact the story.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm not reading
I'll point
closely
out.
Enough, clearly. All yeah. right. So chapter one, she just meets Draco?
Yeah.
Draco
okay. comes over. There's a reveal. She says, it's "Hey, Ebony," shouted a voice. I looked up. It was, and then a four-period ellipses. Draco Malfoy! And we get a lot of these ellipses reveal, and the four-period one turns out to be absolutely garbage. That's like...
Garbage. Yeah. Garbage. No, it needs to go over a full line and then onto the next line before yeah. it even matters at all.
But he sort of says, what's up? She says nothing, and then she leaves.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the end of the chapter, and the chapters do get more exciting. More things happen.
And chapter two opens with the Cockney author's note. Thanks to bloody 2666 for helping me with the chapter, by the way. Prep, stop flaming my story, okay? that would be my interpretation.
I think that's the... well, I mean, these... Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I just the idea that like I should even be able to do a good accent like that, like, you know,
I didn't. I said I wanted more of it. Why do you?
One of us has, you know, been played Macbeth, you know, and it wasn't me
in college.
Yeah. All right. Literally, we're an actor on a TV show, so I like I you know when I get yeah anyway
playing a Cockney guy yeah. anyway. So the chapter two starts with a bang.
Yeah,
this is like your, you know, the red pencil that your teacher, you know, when you submit your creative writing story. The next day, I woke up in my bedroom. Pencil. No.
We'll assume that. Yeah. Tell us otherwise.
Yes. But no, lives in a coffin or sleeps in a coffin
yeah.
and drinks blood from a bottle. So that is pretty badass.
Yeah. And is it like a, so it's like a baby bottle or a water bottle? I mean, there's no clarification there.
Yeah. I assume it's those insufferable, what do you call the metal bottles that everyone has?
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
That they pull out and all of a sudden you start hearing the sucking sound, you know, next to you. You're like, good Lord, man, we're in church. What are you doing? Yeah. I assume it's like that.
Yeah. So she, yeah. So Hogwarts, you know, they know she has this, like they have, people are again, cool with the vampires, but she also sleeps in a giant MCR shirt. which I, again, I wanted to see your reaction when you looked up My Chemical Romance. My backstory with them is that, my brother made a playlist called Classics, which has a collaborative playlist that you can add all the classic rock songs to. It's a good playlist. And then Lauren made one called Modern Classics, which was sort of everything, you know, post 2000 on. And mm-hmm. I added a My Chemical Romance song to it, called Welcome to the Black Parade. That is sort of described as the emo bohemian rhapsody.
Oh, okay. Is that mentioned in this book?
That song is not, I don't think, but that's sort of what it is. If you go to YouTube, that's what people call it. And that is, I believe, the only song she has since removed from the playlist. It was very divisive.
Oh, dear. So, but you put it in there for real.
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, you know, it's a guilty pleasure, but you would not care for it.
Okay. I don't know. I surprised you with a Cockney accent. Sure. Maybe I'll surprise you with my love of My Chemical Romance.
But yeah, the MCR shirt is sort of what she does is like how George R.R. would describe a feast, or even, you know, like the leather jerkins and stuff in his books. The outfit descriptions are, we get one almost every chapter, and they're all pretty much identical. They're like a Taco Bell menu. Of like, you know, yeah, right. We know you're going to put cheese on here and iceberg lettuce. Like, it's not different this time.
No, you. I was waiting for the. Then I got dressed. I put on a little Bo Peep dress with lots of frills. Picked up a staff with a big hook on it for my sheep and headed off. Yeah. No, they're always identical, and everyone dresses the same way.
Yeah, they're black leather.
They just rotate their clothing.
Yeah, yeah. Fishnets. You know, pentagrams and band T-shirts and accessories. Yes. Like B-A-N-D, like MCR and Good Charlotte.
Well, just, I mean, picture Amy Lee.
Sure, sure, yeah. If you can't, get the hell out. And so we also meet her friend Willow, which I thought was just, it was sort of hard to take even months later to see that name
exactly.
In the book again.
Yeah, that hurt me.
I sort of just stared off into the distance for a while. But Willow it appears to be the, it's not a Harry Potter character, obviously. It appears to be the analog of her IRL friend, Raven. And so that comes up later. This is the last we hear about Willow for a while until Raven betrays her later in the author's notes.
I think when I saw Willow later, I had to, because it so traumatized me, I think I wiped it out of my mind. And so when I saw Willow later, I kind of did the double take. I'm like, who's Willow? What's happening? So I actually had to go back and, yeah.
Right. And the fact that there are multiple characters who are given names that are not their Harry Potter names makes that even more confusing when there's a brand new character.
Right.
But they're both Slytherins, obviously. And but then so Draco walks on over to them in the common room and says hi, and she says hi. I replied flirtily, which is the as much as Stephen King says to strip every adverb out, this is a adverb lover's dream in this book.
Well, you will not be surprised to learn that is my first sonic challenge to you.
Oh God!
Hi, I want you to say it flirtily. I'll say hi to you non-flirtily.
Got it.
You say hi to me flirtily. Okay?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, dear.
I batted my eyebrows, too.
That had a wind-up to it and everything. So it was weird.
Well, I would look
I would point out, you mentioned the weather.
Yeah.
Right?
Snow and rain simultaneously.
It was snowing and raining, so there was no sun. Which I was very happy about. And I just want to point out, I mean, there was a sun.
Right.
Sun was not visible. I understand that, but I just want to point that out. This is not a world without a sun.
Yeah, I bet she wishes it was, though. That's
Oh, totally. Oh, OMFG.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, speaking of sun, like that's, I guess they're playing by the Twilight Vampire rules.
They can go able to just sun. Walk out. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yes, yes.
But Draco tells her that Good Charlotte is playing a concert at Hogsmeade, which is the tavern that they are always sneaking off to have butter beers. And they are her favorite band besides MCR. And we always sort of wondered about like the world of Harry Potter. Like, do these things exist? Like, how come the culture does not appear to affect these kids? So this book takes a more realistic tack. Like, of course, these teenagers at Hogwarts are going to know these bands. She's got one up on the real books here, I think.
Yeah, and that's the thing we've always said. When you're doing a movie, you never show someone going to hey, we're going to a cool concert tonight. And then when you show the concert, there's no way it's cool. I mean, it's not possible. Yes. You can't just summon cool. So you never should show the things or mention the things that they like because you're putting a sticker on them that just says you will be lame to most people.
Right. And then if you go the other way, you have like a – was the first Spider-Man movie where there's a big Macy Gray concert that the guy hit her up? So you then just date that for all time. So, yeah. Anyway.
That's right. The Green Goblin flies into the Macy Gray concert.
Dear. Let it exist in a vacuum. I don't know. Yeah. But then he says they're going, and he says, well, do you want to go with me? He asked. I gasped. And so we get a Dan Brown-esque dramatic chapter ending here as she gasps her way into chapter 3.
Yep, there's a little Dan Brown. There's a little, which is disturbing given the ages of these people. It becomes a little The Mister.
Oh, yeah.
And I am not happy with that at all. But I did not know that was a feature of this book. I'm not sure I would have agreed to that, given that.
But, I mean, I don't think that all fan fiction is erotic fan fiction, but you have to imagine that a good portion of it is. I don't know.
When I got to that first one, I pictured, and there's no way to recreate in a podcast, so I'll just describe it, of like, you know, angrily being the angry chief and calling you into my office, Lestoka! And then a good 30 to 45 seconds of me pacing around you while you sort of twirled your hat, you know, and didn't meet my eyes until I went, what the hell are we reading this book for? Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. Yes,
I didn't know his thingy was going to be so prominent in the you-know-whats.
You-know-whats are very fast and furious here. So, yeah, we've got to deal with that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all things considered, like the mister was more explicit, and this may, you know, this could be done, this might be more tactful, I don't know.
Tactful? These are children. Anyway. All right.
So chapter three, she's getting ready for the concert. She puts on a identical outfit to the last one she put on, except that the fishnets are red. But then she feels a little depressed, so she slit one of her wrists.
I am not laughing, obviously,
right,
at the reality of that, only that that is a common thing that's going to happen in this book.
Right. And so over the weekend, we went camping, and before our friends showed up, we were just sort of relaxing by this beautiful river. And I gave Lauren the book in the hammock and told her just to read the first chapter, because that was as far as I got. And the chapters in my book are very poorly demarcated. Like, the chapter markers are down in, like, the bottom right corner. So she accidentally read the first three chapters and was very angry about that. But she got to this point. It was like, what? She just slit her wrist and then now is going to a My Chemical Romance concert. And I was confused, too. But later on, 10 chapters later, probably, it's revealed that, like, duh, she's a vampire. So she can only die by, you know, a stake through her heart. So this is just a little bit of, you know, her passing the time.
Right. So I felt like the actions, and again, this is going to come up. So people who, I mean, this happens. So slitting wrists and stuff.
Drinking blood.
It's gross and horrible. So if you don't want to, you know, listen to it, it's going to come up. So
right.
Sorry,
yeah. You know, put a retroactive warning. Maybe we'll put that at on the description.
Yes. Yes. But, I felt like the two actions were in contrast to each other, of the slitting of the wrists and then drinking some human blood. Like, you could have just skipped the one and then you would have had the blood.
Right.
So
already in you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And no word on the source of this blood either.
No, I was alarmed by that. Yeah, that's, I don't just know if there's like, again, there's just bottles of it around.
Yeah. There could be there seems to be a sizable vampire population. So there's a vending machine. I don't know.
Yeah.
But sure, yeah, she goes outside and Draco is there in his flying car, wearing his Simple Plan shirt, who's also playing at the show. So Draco is one of those guys who wears the band shirt to the concert, which, like, I think I learned in like middle school was like, do not do that.
And I think that, J.K. Rowling would probably not approve of that, of her character doing such a lame thing, right? I'm assuming.
Right. And then he drives a Benz, and the license plate says 666, which is shockingly not the lamest license plate we've ever encountered on the podcast, due to Greg Hale's megabyte license plate from Digital Fortress.
I was scanning my memory going, how many license plates have been mentioned? Wow. Well, the 666s, though, are used by pretty much everybody in every context. So that seems even lamer.
You mean in terms of wizards and Satanists and vampires?
Yeah, like it just seems lame for... I mean, is Draco being set up as being just a real lame ass? He's not, right? Because she's in love with him.
She is, but I mean, he also, like, you know, runs around into classes naked, so he sort of gets humiliated in that way. He's, you know, again, wearing the band shirts. Like, I don't know. He gets sort of, like, cucked by Harry, I mean, vampire, in various things. So, yeah, I guess he is pretty lame.
Yeah. I would just ask you, too, Simple Plan, I did not look up. Mm-hmm. But I just made the connection now. That was directed by the director of Spider-Man, who put Macy Gray in the middle of this movie. So,
all right.
Simple Plan is the movie. So the band was, did they name after the movie? Or?
That would be very a weird, you know, sort of like low simmering, like tension drama for them to name their emo band after. I looked them up too because there was a list of singers and there was one Pierre that I didn't recognize. And so anytime you see a reference to Pierre, you know, obviously Gerard is MCR, Joel, GC, Chester is Linkin Park. Pierre is Pierre Bouvier, the singer of Simple Plan, which sounds like a pretty hilarious.
Pierre Bouvier? Well, there's a obviously a pseudonym there. So,
but yeah, so that's Simple Plan. I don't know much about them.
Okay. I did not look them up, I confess.
Yeah.
All right. So plot-wise, where are we?
Well, they go to the concert. She's like, you know, mooning over Joel Madden, even though he's going out with Hillary fucking Duff. I hate that little bitch. I said disgustedly, thinking of her ugly blonde face. And this, the Hillary Duff hate, often just comes out of nowhere and is fleeting but vicious. And so it's a, again, author self-insert, I'm guessing.
Ugly blonde face is an interesting description. But this is from a person who constantly writes, I think that black and ebony are always side by side, which started to annoy me. Because they mean the same thing. But yeah, anyway.
It's like a Crayola crayon, you know, forest green, ebony black type of thing.
Yes. But the, yeah, the Hillary Duff thing was, that was probably my first LOL of this read. Just, I didn't know she engendered such hate from people. But have you heard of this before, or is this the first time?
Well, no. But, I mean, you can, you know, if she's a – Hillary Duff is sort of a classic prep, I guess, you know, the has that cheerleader vibe. So if you're a goth, you got it, and you hate the preps, I'm sure that that's where the lines are drawn.
I suppose so, if you're a goth. Absolutely right. All right, so now we get our first multiple ellipses.
Yeah, this one's amazing. I counted it.
Oh, good. I was hoping you did the work.
You can read it, and I'll tell you how many there are.
Okay, we got GC concert tease. Draco and I crawled back into the Mercedes-Benz, but Draco didn't go back into Hogwarts. Instead, he drove the car into...
27 periods.
The Forbidden Forest.
End of chapter. Yeah.
End of chapter. Is that is that directly from? I'm afraid I don't remember. If
I think
from.
So. I think that's where the Whomping Willow is. Like, that's where the centaurs live, and like they mess people up if they go in there.
Okay. So yeah. So they drive their flying Mercedes-Benz into the Forbidden Forest.
And then we get to chapter 4. Which has some great stuff, but it also has the first scene you mentioned earlier. So Draco leaned in extra close, and I looked into his gothic red eyes. He was wearing color contacts, which revealed so much depressing sorrow and evilness. And then suddenly I didn't feel mad anymore. again, either at some point it ceases to matter if they meant it to be funny or not, because it's funny no matter what.
It is. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we get our second multiple ellipses. Mm-hmm. And I assume you're not counting every one of these.
Okay.
This one is, and then, dot, 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 suddenly.
Was it? Yeah. Seems like there's some hang time. Lots of things happen suddenly, though. We'll do a control F on suddenly for the next one.
Yeah, a lot of suddenlies. And then, yeah, the
the sex?
Yeah, I mean, skip it, man. Okay. Gross. I mean, it's kids.
Sure. All right. But, so they get busy, but then we get the biggest one so far, ellipses. We started to kiss everywhere and my pale body became all warm, and then, all caps, what the hell are you doing, motherfuckers? It was 61 periods, Dumbledore. So I sort of, I mean, they sort of have that like calm Mander vibe.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if there's two Dumbledores, essentially. The first one was the guy who died after like the first two or three movies. And he had that sort of like, hurry, you must, you know, find the golden snitch. And then the third guy was like, like that was his sort of vibe. They were very different. So I'm guessing this is more the second type of guy.
Yeah, I don't think she would have been. The first guy was, of course, the great Richard Harris, legendary.
Okay. Sure.
towards the end of, obviously, the end of his his career there, because he yes. died during Literally. Filming. Mm-hmm. But the second guy, what's his name? Michael.
Oh, man.
Something. He's also, you know, a good British actor. I think he's kind of a menacing dude.
Michael Gambon.
Gambon, yes. He has a menace to him, which I assume they wanted for Dumbledore, right? He's sort of a... Could be good, could be bad. I don't know. Well, I don't remember.
Yeah, really powerful, and, you know, he's got to be able to protect you from stuff. So, yeah. He's seen some shit.
Right. So, anyway, he's in the forest, and he watches them.
He sees them. Yeah, he sees them, you know, with their thingies and such. I just said it's like looking at like a bootleg toy of a character you know, and you're like, that's just not how that character's supposed to look, the way that these characters all react. Dumbledore is just, calling them, shouting profanity and stuff like that. So,
right. you ludicrous fools.
Oh, shouted. Yeah. So that's chapter 5.
Yes. Spelled like
the rapper.
The rapper, yes.
But yeah, the adults talking is one of my favorite things because the impressions of that. Yeah, you ludicrous fools, he shouted. And he hauls them back out of the Forbidden Forest to talk to Snape and McGonagall.
Don't remember McGonagall. Is that
She's Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith? Oh, okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense. Sure. And Snape is, what's his name?
Alan Rickman.
The late Alan Rickman. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he says they were having sexual intercourse in the Forbidden Forest, he yelled in a furious voice. And then McGonagall says, why did you do such a thing, you mediocre dunces?
Another puzzling thing. Like, yeah, I guess if you were trying to troll people, you might make that. But and yet, if you were trying to write above your station, you might also make that error. It's
right.
Hard to say.
Yeah, to me, those parts are better than Harry Potter as well.
right. Oh, let's see. I just have a lot of just like cut and pasting these things, but I suppose we can't just read the whole book.
Exactly.
So what's your next note?
I mean, she says, why did you do such a thing, you mediocre dunces? And then Draco shrieked, because I love her, in all caps. And, that's a decent reason. I don't know. Like, right. All things considered.
Get another description. This one's a little different.
Okay.
She brushed her teeth and hair, changed into a low-cut black floor-length dress mm-hmm. with red lace all around it and black high heels.
Yeah. I wasn't sure.
So I went a little change up there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know why the formal wear was... sort of required, but that's probably something from an Evanescence video. We could probably, if we did our research.
Do you know the song "I Just Want to Live" by Good Charlotte?
No,
because he's Draco is singing it here to her,
and she's flattered by that.
Yes.
No, they were clearly not something that was aimed at me during that period of time. So,
Are all of the bands mentioned like squarely in the, they're on point, they are, goth bands, they are beloved of goths and all of that?
I mean, it's hard to say, but like, I feel like they're more of that sort of like emo punk, like I don't know if they all would have played the Warped Tour, but that sort of vibe. So I guess there's the Warped Tour does contain multitudes type of thing, but... I think it's on point for what a teenage girl would have been into at this point in time.
Okay. Chapter 6.
Yep. She wakes up in her coffin again, which I was just like, I guess she just has to continually remind us that she is a vampire because it doesn't seem to affect day-to-day life too much at all.
No, she doesn't get into any of the actual specifics of that. I mean, to its credit, I mean, Twilight at least kind of drilled down on all the sparkliness and the living in rainy mm-hmm. climes and all of that. But this is just, all of it is just assumed, like, I'm a vampire and that's it. You get the rest. Yeah.
But she goes down to the Great Hall where she ate some Count Chocula cereal with blood instead of milk and a glass of red blood. And I issued my first settle down to that statement. I might be tipping it a bit too much type of thing.
Right. And she spilled the blood all over her top.
Yeah. because Harry approaches her? Is that why that happened?
That's right. He bumps into her and spills all of her blood.
Yeah. But I think we got to read the first Harry description because it's important. He was the pale white face of a gothic boy with spiky black hair with red streaks in it. He was wearing so much eyeliner that eye was going down his face, and he was wearing black lipstick. He didn't have glasses anymore, which is... There's no sense that it is Harry at this point. You just say he didn't have glasses anymore, and it's the first we've met this character. Mm-hmm. And now he was wearing red contact lenses just like Draco's, and there was no scar on his forehead anymore. He had manly stubble on his chin. He had a sexy English accent. Ooh, I bet that sounds like mine. He looked exactly like Joel Madden. That could have been just said in the beginning to get rid of all this. And he was so sexy, my body went all hot when I saw him, kind of like him, erection, only I'm a girl, so I didn't get one, you sicko. Which, again, you know, you got to admire it. My name's Harry Potter, although most people call me vampire these days, he grumbled. And her Hall of Fame follow-up to that statement? Why? I exclaimed.
I will just point out that in my own mind, I did not feel like looking up Joel Madden.
Okay.
So I just substituted John Madden. And, that's what I went with to amuse myself. So
if she had a typo that said that would be just a absolute Hall of Fame sentence.
It's very hard to picture John Madden doing a sexy English accent, but if you'd like to attempt it,
next Andy Rooney off.
Yes.
Joel Madden is a singer of Good Charlotte, so he looks like what you would expect based on the male version of the Amy Lee.
Okay, so lots of eyeliner, chopped hair.
Mm-hmm. Sort of spiky.
All right.
And then he says, I love the taste of human blood. He giggled. I am. And she confesses that she is a vampire. Really? He whimpered. Yeah, I roared.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on there. Whimpering and roaring?
She's just spinning the wheel of verbs.
Oh, that seems more, maybe Dumbledore, the second Dumbledore, could maybe roar a yeah, but yeah. Otherwise I find it hard. That's a sonic challenge for you.
Yeah! That's John Madden, yeah. Like,
oh,
Pacino. Football, all right, yeah.
Al Pacino could roar a yeah.
Yeah!
But, all right, so that's chapter 6.
Mm-hmm. And chapter 7 is subtitled Bring Me to Life, which is an Evanescence lyric. These are few and far between and seem to have no real, like, actual bearing on the chapter contents. But I just thought we should point that out for the sake of completism.
I did not recognize that Bring Me to Life was... I should have guessed, of course, but I didn't know that. This is a chapter that I'm just going to leave it where it is. It's pretty... you can comment on it.
All right.
I'm leaving it alone.
Well, so yeah, Vampire is depressed with dark misery in his depressed eyes, and he's jealous of him that he was going out with Draco. And I wasn't sure like what they meant by that, but then in retrospect, it's because everyone in this book is bi, and so everyone is jealous of everyone dating everybody else. And they go in into a room, and they get busy again in her coffin. But then she sees the tattoo on Draco's arm that has bloody gothic writing with the words vampire, and she's so angry. And it was very confusing because vampire refers to her, but also to another character, but that character isn't actually named Vampire. He's only named this in the book. So it just, it sort of made me like sit down and think like, I don't think that this Harry Potter fanfic My Immortal is very well written.
But I didn't even understand this at all because Vampire is Harry Potter, right?
Yes. Yeah.
She's a vampire, but he's named Vampire.
Right, because he's a vampire.
So Draco had a tattoo of him?
Yeah.
And does that just mean they're going out or something?
They were going out, I guess. And this information is meted out like a, you know, like a soap opera or like a movie that's, you know, telling one story like at a time. But that is revealed later that they were exes.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even pick up on that.
But it's, yeah, I assume that these chapters were sort of posted with like weeks in between them, I guess. So I'm guessing that the author didn't have like a big yarn wall connecting all the plot points, or a showrunner, the type of guy who maintains the continuity Bible for
the show
Star
Bible.
Wars.
Yeah, yeah. There's, it's non-existent here. All right. Well, that's chapter 7.
Well, Draco runs out of the room naked. That's how this one ends.
Sure.
Chapter 8, she goes to class, and then Draco came into the room even though he was naked and started begging me to take him back. Ebony, it's not what you think, Draco screamed sadly. And I just thought, like, yeah, you know, JK, if you are considering a reboot, if they're redoing the movies, like, some of these ideas are worth keeping in.
And then is this the first appearance of BMS, Bloody Mary
yeah.
Smith?
Mm-hmm.
She, okay, so the introduction to her should be read. My friend Bloody Mary Smith smiled at me understatedly. I wish we could do a video challenge.
Yeah,
That'd be a good one. But if anyone out there wants to attempt it and send it in to us.
I think it looks like this. It looks like when the guy in The Happening asks Zooey Deschanel if she likes hot dogs, and she smiles back at him. I think that's her understated smile.
That's where she is nodding yes, but she sort of mouths no, but yes. Kind of half no, so it's like her head is kind of rotating.
Yeah.
So it's very unclear whether she likes hot dogs.
Read the rest of Bloody Mary's introduction.
She flipped her long waist-length gothic black hair and opened her crimson eyes like blood that she was wearing contact lenses on. I'm a terrible sentence diagrammer. But maybe our colleague Bill, I think Bill Corbett maintains that skill. Maybe we should hand that sentence to him and have him do the diagram.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
But it the red contacts are, I guess the movie didn't come out yet, but all the vampires, the bad vampires in Twilight always had those contacts, right? Isn't that a thing?
Oh, yeah, like the ones they play baseball against.
Yes, I think that's. Okay. I figure Victoria. She was the bad vampire.
Oh right. Okay.
Or maybe they just are all wearing contacts at all times, and that's their true nature. So these guys are doing the opposite. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. She's got an interesting backstory, though.
Yeah, she sure does.
Why don't you give that a go?
Hermione, so Bloody Mary Smith is Hermione for the purpose of this book, the way that Harry Potter is now vampire. Mm-hmm. Hermione was kidnapped when she was born. Her real parents are vampires, and one of them is a witch, but Voldemort killed her mother, and her father committed suicide because he was depressed about it. She still has nightmares about it, and she is very haunted and depressed. It also turns out her real last name is Smith and not Granger. Parentheses, since she has converted to Satanism, she is in Slytherin now, not Gryffindor. So there is a lot to unpack there.
So much. Kidnapped when she was born.
Yes.
Which I mean, that's okay. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. Her real parents are vampires, and one of them is a witch. So both parents are vampires.
Yes.
But one of them is both.
A witch vampire. Yeah. And I don't know in this purpose if that means that the woman is a witch and the man is a wizard, which I think is the way it works in Harry Potter. But here, I don't think we can make that assumption.
But since Voldemort killed them both anyway, do we need to know?
No.
Voldemort killed her mother. See, the way you're reading it, it's like, but Voldemort killed her mother and her father.
Right, yes.
Committed suicide because that's like... if there's an Oxford comma to solve that problem,
right?
But
yeah,
okay.
But so those are her real parents, but she was kidnapped when she was born.
Yeah, so she never knew them. I mean, I guess we don't know when her father committed suicide.
Sure,
he was depressed,
and she was kidnapped. You know, it says her real parents are vampires. Implication there is that the parents who kidnapped her from the vampires are Muggles. I guess not Muggles, whatever the Muggle equivalent of a vampire is.
Wait, what?
You know what I mean? So her real parents...
Her real parents are vampires.
Vampires, yeah. But she was kidnapped when she was born. So you would assume that since it specifies her real parents are vampires, that the people who kidnapped her are not vampires.
But who... What was Voldemort doing when those people were kidnapping her? I don't understand.
I think Voldemort
unrelated things? Like,
yeah, so she's...
I got kidnapped, and then really bad day, Voldemort killed my parents. Or killed my mother.
Yes, but, well, it could have been years later. Like, she could have been, you know, seven, and, you know, word would have gotten out that her real parents, who she's never met, were killed by Voldemort.
All right, well...
And then, so then her kidnapped parents were named Granger because her real last name is Smith. So her Smith parents were the vampires. And then at some point, maybe once she got word about this traumatic backstory, that caused her to convert to Satanism. And I guess
from
once...
what? What was she? Was she like Presbyterian or something?
Yes, I guess whatever the Grangers raised her as.
Okay. But
so she converted.
She was already going to a wizard school.
Yes.
So maybe converted from like wizard schoolism to Satanism?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever the house religion is that they square with, you know, what the theology at school. But it this conversion.
I guess we never learned. They could be like strict Mormonism or something. We don't really know.
Yeah. That could be one of those, you know, how J.K. Rowling is like, you know, Dumbledore was gay. And the other thing that she revealed after the fact was. Before toilets were invented, wizards would just crap on the floor and then use a spell to make it disappear.
That was not a real thing.
Took over the internet for about 48 hours when she dropped that a couple years ago.
Dropped that. Nice. All right.
But so this, yeah, she could say they're all Mormon and that would just cause people into a tizzy.
Right.
But
okay.
But anyway, she converted to Satanism, and I guess the head of Gryffindor, McGonagall, called her a mediocre dunce. And made her go to Gryffindor, because I guess they have sort of a policy against Satanism in Gryffindor.
I see. But it's good enough for Slytherin?
Yeah, I feel like Slytherin might even encourage it, you know?
Oh, okay.
They're the evil house. Anyway, a lot to unpack.
Right.
So she's now named Bloody Mary.
Okay, but when we see Bloody Mary, we are to picture Hermione.
Yes.
Granger. Okay.
Yeah, with, right. You know, wearing the same outfit that everyone else wears.
I think I kept forgetting to do that. I kept forgetting to do those analogs through the whole reading. So I'm a sloppy reader of this book, I'll confess.
Well, it's just hard. It makes it hard when it's like, it's, you know, when you have a dream and you're trying to explain it to someone and you're like, I was at, you know, the Rift Tracks office, but it wasn't the Rift Tracks office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you had that sentence. It's like it was Hermione, but it wasn't Hermione. It's like what are we fucking reading here? This is just why do that? Why, you know, invoke a character just to entirely change everything about them? Anyway,
I don't know. All right. So
it ends with a DMC style perspective shift to Draco where he's like talking in first person about, I don't know why Ebony was so bad at me, but we spent enough time on this chapter, I feel like.
I did not get that.
No,
I didn't understand that shift. I was like, what is happening? And then vampire shouts out. So Harry Potter shouts out, but I'm not going out with Draco anymore, said vampire.
Yeah, because Draco said he had gone out with vampire, but he broke my heart.
Okay, and then does it shift back to the perspective of...
Ebony? I think so.
Okay. All right. Now I'm a little clearer. Okay.
That's the only one of those we get. Although now, later coming up, there are incidences of repeated beats, but we'll get to those.
Right.
Chapter 9.
Chapter 9 starts with quite an author's note.
I think I know if you're calling it out, but like, she's very upset about people flaming her.
Yes. Yeah.
So she sort of says, like, I want 5 good reviews or else I'm not going to keep doing this, which I think we should probably do. We want 5 good reviews on iTunes before we drop the next episode.
But, yeah, she ends that one with, oh, she has a headache? She complains about in the author's note. Stop flaming. I said I had a headache. which you don't see authors do often, to respond to their critics with basically, look, I'm doing the best I can. I had a headache. So that's the reason why the last chapter changed perspective in the middle and confused everyone.
Right.
I think that's what she's saying. But she does end strongly with MCR rocks. So.
I think that's why George R. R. Martin hasn't finished a book in 9 years. He's just had a headache.
Right. I was at a party once, and a guy who was reading one of my books, and he like pointedly got it out and was reading like, this part is really funny, and then you wrote this paragraph. Why did you do that? And it was in front of people, and I just I was kind of laughing, but said, that's the oddest thing in the world. Like, I wrote it because it was Tuesday and I needed to write the next. Like, what do you want me to say?
Wow.
You like this part, but you don't like this part? So you want me to explain why I wrote it? Anyway, I should have responded, I had a headache.
Yes, exactly. You know, stop flamming me.
Yes. MCR rocks. I'm out of here. Right. Going to take some shrimp and go.
If you had ever done that, that would still be a story he would be telling as a thing of legend. So.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, she, I guess, goes back to the Forbidden Forest. Yeah. She goes back to the Forbidden Forest. She's so mad and sad. She couldn't believe Draco for cheating on me. I began to cry against the tree where I did it with Draco. But then Voldemort shows up.
Oh, he shows up all of a suddenly. An horrible man. So maybe she is British.
Huh.
And all of a suddenly, an horrible man with red eyes and no nose and everything started flying toward me on a broomstick. He didn't have a nose, is what right. Follows that up.
But they explain that as being like because he looked like he did in the movie.
Basically like Voldemort in the movie. But then it's a reveal. And he was wearing all black, but it was obvious he wasn't gothic. It was, and then there's a disappointing 6 ellipses, Voldemort.
Yeah.
But yeah, garbage.
Yeah, the reveals about that sort of thing are like, we know, you told us. He has no...
It's Voldemort, and he looks like Voldemort in the movie. He's wearing all black. It was Voldemort. So again, impossible to tell whether that's for humor or not.
Yeah, and you know, I guess if you spend a lot of time in the fanfic community, you might see things like this and sort of recognize tropes like that. But for our first exposure to it, I just tip my hat. But so he tries to cast a spell at her, but she responds by shouting Crookshanks at him, which causes him to fall off his broom and start to scream. But Crookshanks is the name of Hermione's cat, so I guess it's also a spell in this.
Hmm.
She felt bad for doing that, even though she's a sadist, but then she stopped.
That as a throwaway is something to unpack as well. I felt bad for him, even though I'm a sadist, so I stopped.
There's a scene in Field of Dreams where he goes to try to recruit James Earl Jones, and he bursts in, and James Earl Jones is about to like wallop him with a bat, and Kevin Costner's like lying down, and he's like, "You're a pacifist," and that causes James Earl Jones to, I guess, rethink his decision to beat him with a crowbar or something.
Wow, so I think
that's sort of that's what happens here.
Right,
she feels bad for him, but then Voldemort's like, "You're a sadist," and she's like, "All right,
right, you got me." I confess I was lost here. If you could talk me through this.
Well, Voldemort gives her a gun and tells her to kill Harry Potter. And we are always sort of wondered, like, you know, what one guy with a gun could do to these dumb wizard battles, you know, just coming in and shooting people. And she says, if you don't kill Harry Potter, which I guess Voldemort isn't hip to the fact that Harry Potter is now being called vampire. If thou does not, Voldemort also speaks like a knight, I guess. If thou does not, then I shall kill thy beloved Draco. And she says, how did you know? I asked in a surprised way. Voldemort got a dude, you're so retarded look on his face. I hath telekinesis, he answered cruelly.
If you doth not kill vampire, so he is hip to that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Then thou know what will happen to Draco. Then he flew away angrily on his broomstick. Again, wish we could recreate that flying away angrily on a broomstick.
He probably, yeah, just revs it a lot like an idiot does with their Harley to sort of let you know that they're, you know, cool and have a loud Harley. But yeah, right. She does know because two sentences earlier he said, "I will kill thy beloved Draco."
Right. One of my favorite descriptions of how a line is said, "I'm sorry I got all mad at you, but I thought you cheated on me, period. I expelled." So I think it's supposed to be connected. I think it's a Jim Tice, there must be another word for saying something.
Yeah, the wheel of verbs.
For putting something out, and so I expelled becomes the...
Did Tice ever use the always disturbing "I ejaculated"?
No, I think only Sir Arthur Conan Doyle has ever used that.
Oh, really?
Outside of the Mister, I guess.
Holmes is doing that?
He's constantly doing that. I will, if I'm reading that, I will read that out loud to Bridget, and she'll say, "Stop that."
Yes. It's also like a term for like a really quick prayer, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. "My dear Holmes, I ejaculated."
Jesus. Yep, that's a hard to read.
Yeah.
But also, you know, anything we're reading here is her words, not ours. And obviously, Voldemort's look on his face, like, that's some chick writing fan fiction in 2006, not
right, right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We got chapter 10, but this is pretty much the halfway mark in our reading, so we could do some fanfic. "And now I bet they bitching cause my flow switching, trying to tell me what to write upon some fan fiction. Can't they just be happy I no longer have to face
eviction? That I'm living out my life, I'm living out my inner vision." Right. Well, as we stated in the intro to this, this is philosophically challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's fanfic or real fanfic.
Right. I don't even know how I'm going to. I predict total collapse on this for me. I don't know how I'm going to get, below 50%.
50%? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You never know. There's...
What were my stats? Am I slightly above 50% or am I not?
I believe so. I think it is. You're better than a coin flip.
Okay.
But it also depends on book and there's, you know... So yeah, we'll see. Fortunately, it's not long enough that you're going to have too much of a chance to people to learn and adapt, but we'll see. I'm going to read these. Again, this is the segment where you try to guess what is actual passages from later in the book, quote unquote, or fanfic that our listeners sent in. This one's tricky just because there's so much misspelling and stuff. I'm going to try to read it as written. And if that's hard to understand, I apologize.
I think, I'll be able to transliterate whatever that's, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it would not be fair to read it as I understand it, you know, interpret it on the fly, because that would be taking out a lot of the context.
Right, okay.
It's like, anyway, there are going to be five of them. They all could be real. They all could be fan fiction. Here is number one. "Hey, motherfuckers," said said Diabolo with his red hair. He was wearing a black ATD t-shirt and black baggy pants. "Hey, who's that, Ebony?" Bloody Mary questioned as she walked in wearing a black t-shirt with a red pentagram on it with lace at the bottom, red leather pants with black lace, and black stilettos. "Oh, it's Satan," I told her, and she nodded, knowing the truth. Suddenly, Satan started to cry. "Are you okay, Satan?" we asked concernedly.
What was the very first part of that?
"Hey, motherfucker," said Diabolo with his red hair. He was wearing a black Panic at the Disco.
Said with his red hair. Okay. I think that's a bridge too far, even for our dear MySpace user / author.
Okay.
And I'm going to say fanfic.
Okay. Here is number two. "You're a Malloy. Pull yourself together," Lucas shouted. Draco looked at Father with gawfy loathing. "What the fuck do you think you're doing?" he shouted. "'Cause some boys need to be taught a lesson," Lucius explained. Lucas opened his black cloak. "I looked like the cloak Gerald Way wore in Welcome to the Black Parade." Suddenly he pulled out a Cat-O-Nine tails. He snapped it with a whack. Streaks of blood ran from Draco's chest. "OMG, what are you doing, fucker?" Draco shouted angrily. "Don't like it? I thought you were goth." Livius was confused. 'cause he always like pain. Why didn't Draco? Then vampire came in and saw the blood. That is so sexy, vampire said with a depressed voice.
Oh, man. God, it sounds so horrible read out loud.
It's amazing.
Kind of forget. Fanfic.
Okay. Here is number 3. After Dewan fight, I went to my room with Draco. Parentheses. He was suspended because he turned the sword hat into blood. We watched The Craft because it's my fave movie. Fereza Brock is so hot. I am bisexual, but I like girls sometimes. Author's note, if you didn't like this, fuck off. We started making out, and Draco put his tongue in my mouth when he pulled off my tank top. Parentheses, it was black lace with devil symbol on it. Suddenly, Draco stopped. He grabbed my hand. He was wearing blood red nail polish with skulls painted on. His breath was hard. He was crying really loudly. Enaby, I need to tell you something. I'm not a vampire anymore. Voldemort took it away from me when I refused to stop loving you. You fucker! I raged in betrayal. How could you? Please, Ebony, I'm so sorry. I'm still gothic and a Stannist. I don't believe anything you say, Prep. Get out of my house.
Stannist?
Yes, S-T-A-N-I-S-T.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm going to say fanfic.
Okay. Number 4. Okay, I said, but I knew that I had to get a new outfit. I walked outside wondering how I could go forward in time. Suddenly someone jumped in front of me. It was 5 dots. Morty McFlea. He was wearing a black Menad t-shirt and black baggy jeans. What the hell are you dong here? I asked. that's dong. Dong here. !! I will help you go froward in time, Ebony, he said seriously. Then, several periods, he took out a black Tim machine. I went into it and many more periods. Suddenly, I was forward in Tim.
All right. It just seems so out of character. I'm going to say that that's fanfic.
Potentially Ernest Cline's fanfic. Final one. I waked in the Great Hall with Bloody Mary, Draco, Vampire, Azazel, Belial, and Draco. But here was Dumbledore, and he was making out with Celine Dior. There's some weird, not parentheses, like errant. Anyway, some weird punctuation. Fucking posers, 111, we all scrammed. Then Celine started to sing, My Heart Won't Go On, because she's goth now. She's wearing a black leather miniskirt, eyeliner, and black boots, and everything. I ran it no Hagrid's hut, started pouring gasoline all over the place. I shot my gun, and the whole place fucking exploded in a fireball. He cried tears of blood. Fuck you, Hagrid, I expelted.
Wow. So this is like Axe Cop for...
So yes, it's written like Celine Dior, but it's Celine Dion.
I was wondering if I was going to stop you there and say, is that supposed to be Celine Dion? Celine Dior? That's John Travolta's mispronunciation.
Oh, yeah. Of what was her name?
Oh, I can't think
Frozen
of the
singer, yeah.
Yeah, the Frozen. That was one of my favorite moments. Just a completely
Idina Menzel, yes.
But he did it with such authority and a completely different name. All right. This might be a first that I'm calling it all fanfic.
All fanfic. Wow. You think
hey,
I'm up to
you,
something.
You,
I know. I've pulled things before.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm going to say that they were not all fanfic.
Damn.
Let's go through them, though. Number one, this was, it's Satan, and Satan suddenly started to cry.
Mm-hmm.
That was real.
What? No.
So Satan shows up, the god they all worship. Are you okay, Satan? We ask concernedly.
So Satan, I wonder how robust this author's understanding of, like, is this...
You wonder how this robust.
This is Satan. This is the Satan?
Yeah. You know, we have, you know, Milton, XXX Bloody Wrist 666, sort of doing a symposium about Prince of Darkness in literature.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well,
number two. This is Lucius Malfoy whacking his son with a cat o' nine tails. You said fanfic. That was fanfic written by Jens.
Okay. Let the listener have sympathy for me for Satan showing up and them asking him why he was sad. And they asked him, please have sympathy for me. Guessing that tone. That was fanfic. All
right. Number three, this was Watching the Craft. And she's Draco apologizes because he's still a Stannist. You said fanfic. That was fanfic written by Emily, a Patreon supporter.
That was very good. I think the another reason that the first one fooled me, I think you said the T-shirt spelling was T-shit twice.
Yeah.
So that seemed like a tell.
A bridge too far, yeah.
Yeah. And
P question mark ATD has not come out yet, even though they fit into the canon, but... you'd be forgiven for thinking that was them trying to be a little clever, too.
Right, right.
Number four is Morty McFly. What the hell are you dong here? that is real from later on in the book. So we have that to look forward to. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. I assume the plot resolves all threads neatly and tidily, and maybe time travel is the only way to make that happen. Don't forget.
Going forward in Tim twice? Is that correct?
There was one in time, and there was one in Tim. Oh no, Tim Machine, and they go forward in Tim.
Okay.
But they did in the third book, Prisoner of Azkaban. Hermione has the time turning watch, so it's
canon.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And then number five, in the Celine Dion, you said fanfic. That is fanfic. There is that was by. I think Lan wrote that one about Saline Dior.
Well, I mean, I guess this is a person who read forward and saw Marty McFly show up and thought they could. Right. So that is, I mean, in retrospect, okay, that's sure. within the rules.
Right. Exactly. Wow. Like we said, canon.
Well, I keep my slightly above 50%.
Yes, there we go. That's like you know, a baseball player going 2 for 5, and it raises his average because that's 400.
Right. All right. Not bad.
Let's move on. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to everyone who sent those in. There was a lot more that we just don't have time for, but I don't know. I've been posting them in Discord or something. So, well done. Chapter 10.
Yes, chapter 10. What is my first note? Oh, people say that we sound... Oh, she's in a band.
Yeah. Bloody Gothic Rose 666.
Yes. People say that we sound like a cross between GC, Slipknot, and MCR. it's a brag to say people often compare us to terrible bands. It's no big deal. I'm just... we're like these big bands that you've heard.
Yeah, exactly. When people do the put up a drummer wanted and influences are Led Zeppelin. Oh, you're influenced by Led Zeppelin, you don't say. Although I do wish it had been like, people say we sound like Thelonious Monk, The Carpenters.
And Gordon Lightfoot.
That's, right, yes, that would be out of our
often field. Compared to all of them.
But yeah, the band is... Bloody Mary, Vampire, Draco, Ron, although they call him Diabolo now. He has, and the defining characteristic of Ron is his red hair, like all Weasleys. He has black hair now with blue streaks in it. And Hargrid. So all three main characters have been renamed, and Hargrid is part of the band, and it's very unclear if he is a student or a member of the faculty in this.
Yeah, this is a little like, speaking of Macbeth. In Shakespeare, I was once in a pretty famous production of Richard III. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that story starts in the middle, basically, of what's going on. It's already, you know, it's a continuation. But everybody's mm-hmm. named like four things, and anyone seeing it would automatically know, oh, I know he's referring now to that name. And
anyone seeing it at the time, you mean?
Yeah, anyone seeing it at the time. But when you're watching it, it's like, my God, stop having more than one name. I can barely understand it. That's where I am at this point.
Right.
I'm comparing it to Shakespeare, pointedly.
Yeah, we compared it to Shakespeare. Dickens in the intro, because it was serial, yes. And Richard III here.
Yes.
This is where we get the explanation that Draco was probably slitting his wrist, but he wouldn't die because he was a vampire too. I think that's the first we're hearing of that. And the only way you can kill a vampire is with a C-R-O-S-S. There's no way I'm writing that out. So, a cross or a stake, I think, is what it's later revealed.
I highly recommend you just erase the author's note, by the way, for this. This is a dark author's note at the beginning of this chapter. Do you have it there in front of you? Don't read it, but
I'm pretty sure I know which one you're talking about.
My gosh. This is a person with a lot of hate in her heart. Are we saying her?
I mean, I made that assumption earlier, and that was probably presumptuous of me, but going forward, I think so. I mean, it has to be. If the lead character is the Mary Sue, as we all say, I think it was well assumed by the readers as well as us that it was a young woman writing this.
Okay. Another question. The Corpse Bride? I'm not sure I'm familiar with that movie.
So it's not depressing, certainly, but it is. It looks very similar to Nightmare Before Christmas, and has a... they sort of like the world of the dead, like Coco, Pixar. They go into that world, claymation.
Is it by what's his name? Tim.
You know, I don't know if it was Tim Burton or if it was the guy. You know, Tim Burton just sort of slapped his name on Nightmare Before Christmas. It was all another guy's work.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Oh yeah, it's like it's ridiculous, but. Tim Burton, I don't think he even directed it.
That's the first I'm hearing of this, so I'm glad that we settled that.
So this might be that guy's movie, or this could be just another Tim Burton doing the same thing. But it's sort of a lighthearted, but I think it has that same sort of imagery, the way that goths like Night Before Christmas, just because people are dead in it, even though it's for the most part is a pretty dippy musical.
Right. But I think this is the first time we get the stake thing happening. You said might be humor, but I don't know.
Yeah.
What does this say? Okay, so you read up until the parentheses. This is the first double parentheses.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Where what do you call the first? Is that an open parenthesis? First one?
Yeah.
And
his
then
first
the
one is, yeah,
second
why he wouldn't die.
Close, right? There's two closes. So she says that it's with a C-R-O-S-S, there's no way I'm writing that, close parentheses, or a stake, close parentheses.
Yes.
And Vampire was probably watching a depressing movie like The Corpse Bride. Now, what do you follow up that sentence with? This one. I put on a black leather shirt, that showed off my boobs and tiny matching miniskirt that said Simple Plan on the butt. Now, I know what you're thinking, but the author is cutting you off of the pass, my friend. You might think that I'm a slut, but I'm really not.
I was thinking this reminded me a lot of Richard III. So
I was still stuck in that space. Now is the winter of our discontent. That is a dizzying array of words and sentences, and I don't quite know what to make of that.
Yeah, that's a good pull quote for this description.
Yeah,
But yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just sort of throwing things at you that are hallmarks of this gothic subculture, and probably just describing people that she knows or admires.
Yeah, and I suppose if you're steeped in this world, then these are enough to, you know, you're going to read through the garbage and go, yeah, no, I know what she's saying. I get it. Totally.
I mean, it has been, 4,000 words, and she has had, sex in the Forbidden Forest twice. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I'd give anything to hear the band, though.
If
there was a way to make it real and that we could go see it, I think I'd pay $1,000.
Yeah.
If I could tape it.
Right. We'd ignore the dirty looks from the people with Simple Plan written on the butt of their miniskirts and sit just in the back. And
we would get so many double birds flung at us because we're preps, but I think it'd be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. But Draco makes some amazing entrances throughout this. He's already suddenly burst into a classroom naked, but he suddenly jumps out from behind the wall. And I don't know what he's upset about here. Dating, going out with Vampire, I guess. Then he runs out crying. People make a lot of running in and out, too. But then Dumbledore shows up and says, "What have you done?" He started to cry wisely. Ebony, Draco has been found in his room. He committed suicide by slitting his wrists. So I just said, well, let's go to the videotape here. Six paragraphs earlier. Draco was probably slitting his wrist. He wouldn't die because he was a vampire, too. So, again, I think she needed her own show Bible runner here just to keep track of what she was hammering out on the keyboard.
Well, she was thrown off by the... She obviously put a lot of passion into the author's note in the middle of that paragraph you just read, mm-hmm. which is, "See, dat's basically nut swearing, and dis time he was really upset, and you will see why." What?
So, I think she got a lot of pushback from people who their takeaway from everything we've just discussed, these first 10 chapters, was Dumbledore wouldn't swear. They looked at this whole pile of garbage, and that was their like nit they had to pick.
They didn't say this is a very much like Richard III, but it veers from it in these specific ways. They said that he wouldn't swear.
So yeah, I think that's sort of her. I had a headache, and that's why he was swearing type of thing.
Oh.
So now she's calling out the haters and saying, "See, he's not swearing here."
Wow, you're even following the meta stuff going on here, and I'm not even on the ground floor yet. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then chapter 11 opens with a fiery denunciation.
Yeah, I have the note, probably the best chapter yet.
Oh, okay. I look forward to this.
What is the denunciation?
Well, I said, S-E-D, stup flaming up preps. See if this chapter is stupid, 11111.
Okay.
It dells with really serious issues.
Oh, so, yeah.
So just laying down a... And then there's kind of a thank you to Raven. Again. Okay. Yeah. Raven /Willow?
Raven is, yeah. Willow has not been in any of the next 10 chapters, but yeah.
Okay.
That's who they are.
Here's a sonic challenge. Pronounce this. H-L-E-P-I-N-G.
Hlepping? No. Hlepping. Hlepying.
It's like the what was the villain in the last book? How to wout?
Oh yeah, I don't remember. I just remember there was no way that we were sure about how you pronounced it.
Ah, all right. Anyway, thank you for hlepping me.
Hlepying.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Bloody Mary tries to comfort her, but she ran to her room crying. Dumbledore chased after me shouting, but he had to stop when I went to my room because he would look like a perv that way. So it's a smart strategy. I mean, I guess the rooms are segregated. No men allowed in the ladies' dorms.
And again, this is this person's words, but I was alarmed by the frequent use of pervs and pedos. It's very upsetting to me. But anyway, they're in there, and so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then she yells at Snape, abracadabra? That's not what it is, right? In the...
Yeah, it's Avada Kedavra, but obviously it's meant, you know, you could not read that in those books without thinking of the most famous magic words, abracadabra.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's what she was playing on it, but I'm just saying this weird hybrid of the real one and the...
Right.
It's just bizarre, given that it's Harry Potter fanfic. Right. Why didn't she just use it? I don't get it.
I don't know. It boggles the mind. But that's actually Dumbledore, who has run in. I guess he thought this was important enough that it didn't matter if he looked like a perv, because the other pervs were outside. Snape and Lupin who are videotaping her as she's changing.
Oh, right, and, right. Sorry, I forgot about that. I confess when I saw that I sort of went, ugh, skimmed over it. Okay.
But he says abracadabra, she took out his gun and she took out the gun that Voldemort gave her and shot Snape and Lupin a gazillion times, and they both started screaming and the camera broke. I'm sorry, that might have been... I don't know. Then Dumbledore runs in, so I don't know who yelled abracadabra. It might have been Vampire, might have been Draco. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make of, I don't get the Dumbledore? Is that a...
I think it's just a typo. It's a pretty, you know, it sounds like someone's pet name for
it. It's consistent, though. It's consistent, except for when it's spelled like it should be spelled.
So yeah, E and Y aren't that close to each other, so.
Dumb, but it just sounds... it's like, yeah. Dumbledore?
Yeah, because Dumbledore is full of dignity and is so normal, if that just existed in a vacuum.
Well, look, I mean, we're in the Harry Potter fanfic world, but Dumbledore is a bridge too far.
They're all here. Those guys have been shot a gazillion times.
Who's Lupin?
Lupin is, I believe, David Thewlis's character who could turn into a werewolf.
That would be L-U-P-I-N to be Lupin. Yes, okay. Yeah. And this is spelled as though one is looping into something without the G. This is Lupin. Okay.
It sounds like an 80s movie about like either BMXers or DJs or something. Lupin!
Yeah, like there's an upcoming movie, Lycan? Mm-hmm. Right? That we're going to do at Riftrax. And I think both you and I were confused just the way it was being pronounced. It's like the tree moss? The symbiotic moss? Okay. I'm looking forward to that. That'd be fun to watch a lichen grow slowly on someone's face.
Yeah, how they make that scary. Yeah. But it was lichenthrope, right?
Lichenthrope, of course, yes.
Damn it.
Yes.
It's going to be so much worse. But so this is where the Satanism really comes in. Hagrid ran outside on his broom and said, everyone, we need to talk. So he comes in like an assistant principal turning his chair around backwards after a gazillion shots have been fired and a faculty has been spying on a underage girl changing. We need to talk is the solution there. What do you know, Hagrid? You're just a little Hogwarts student. He is neither little nor a student. And he says... I may be a Hogwarts student, Hagrid paused angrily, but I am also a Satanist. And then everyone just sort of, that's like a huge dramatic reveal, but people just sort of move on.
Well, Snap doesn't move on. Snap says, this cannot be. Okay. Snap said in a crisp voice as blood dripped from his hand where Dumbledore's wand had shot him. There must be other factors. To which, I guess she replies in all caps, you don't have any? I yelled in madly.
Oh, man. Utter chaos.
Well, do you have the next line there?
I felt faint. Is that it?
No, it's, so you don't have any? I yelled in madly. Lupin held up the camera triumphantly.
Oh yeah, I like triumphantly was a hell of a word to coin.
Yeah, triumphantly. So
the camera was shot a gazillion times, but it still worked. So I guess they're going to blackmail her. But what did Snape say crisply? This cannot be.
This cannot be. Snap said in a crisp voice.
So Hagrid's revelation shocks them, even though there's a couple. You know, there's many other Satanists that we know lurking around Hogwarts. I don't know.
And how do again, we don't know the hierarchy of the vampire, witch, wizard. There's a lot going on.
Right.
I guess we have to chart that out. But Satanist is not tolerated. Only in Slytherin is that tolerated?
That's where Bloody Mary had to transfer to after she came out as a Satanist. But
Thank you for pronouncing it Bloody Mary. Appreciate that.
It's like translator. But, I mean, in terms of the hierarchy, it seems like the pervs and pedos should be lower below the Satanists, like, in terms of...
Oh, no. That's not just entering our dialogue now, is it? Please say no.
It's all there on the page. Snap is upset. He says, they say, why is Hagrid doing this? And Snap says, because you're gothic? Snap asked in a little afraid voice, because he was afraid it meant he was connected with Satan. But he just screamed, I am also a Satanist. So there's he has left little room for doubt here about his leanings.
Unreliable narrator? I don't know.
Unreliable, yeah, exactly. So maybe he didn't say this in a crisp voice is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess. I will point out, bringing it all back home, because, all caps, Hagrid, lots of ellipses, Hagrid said, and he paused in the air, dramatically, waving his wand in the air, then swooped he in, singing to the tune of a gothic version of a song by 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
So
wow.
Look at exactly. My yarn wall has just grown there.
Yeah. This goes all the way to the top, people.
That's right.
And the top is Sex Man.
Sex Man.
wasn't sure how that related in, and I don't think they specified which song it was, but he did seem like an outlier. But I guess if you were picking a rapper, he was probably at the height of his fame, so.
A gothic version of a song by 50 Cent. I'm having trouble picturing, but, you know, again.
Well, maybe that's the kind of music that Bloody Gothic Rose 666 plays.
Ah, that could be.
chapter 12?
Yes, although there's a chance for you to... do you have the chapter 11 right there with you?
I have the book. Yeah, I can open it up.
I'd just like you to read in your British accent the last two lines. The afraid voice, Snap asking in a little afraid voice. Do it. Come on.
I'm trying. I got to wind up.
Yep. You know you want to.
Because you're gothic?
Oh, dear God.
Because I love her. Oh, God.
Sounds like you took your teeth out.
Well, that's what they sound like to me. I was tucking my lower lip over my teeth.
You sound like a bald knobber teeth. There.
All right. Chapter 12.
Yeah, we had to pick up the pace.
Okay. This is Vampire. His scar turned back into a lightning bolt, but... Ron changed it into a pentagram and he covers it up with foundation. But I think that's his signal that Voldemort has returned.
Okay. And this is where we get the first appearance of the eyes described as red whites.
Yes, that was very puzzling.
Wow.
Right? Like
like eyes kind of rolling back or something. I didn't understand that. But then I just have one other in chapter 12, a sentence. Dumbledore had constipated the video camera they took of the naked. Period. I put up my middle finger at them.
Yeah.
So that's all right. I don't know what that means.
he confiscated the Snape and Lupin's camera because they were trying to make a Paris Hilton P video, which is another term that I was not familiar with.
What?
Yeah.
How did I miss? Where is that?
You saved me from getting a Paris Hilton P video made from your shower scene.
Ah!
So like porno video,
stop.
I guess is what you mean.
Stop. Stop reading.
Hagrid is accused of being a prep in this by her because he gave her roses, but the roses turn into a huge black flame floating in the middle of the air. So there's his goth status is proven.
Oh, okay.
And we get the first sort of venture into weird, like, Japanese fangirling as well.
Yeah.
Because her and Bloody Mary are saying to each other, you look kawaii.
Kawaii, which is a brand of musical instrument, keyboards.
Sure. But when you look that up, the first Urban Dictionary thing, it says it is not a Japanese word. It is a misspelling of the following. Kawaii with two eyes, which means cute in Japanese. And it just, third definition is, I'm a crazy fangirl who does not care or look into the actual Japanese language. So I guess that's probably that was a Live Journal staple, I'm guessing.
Okay. Well, we have Japanese listeners, right? Because we realized that during our last book.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Corrected the, what was his name?
Not
Tenkato, I mean the other
the
guy.
Numataka?
Numa, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, hopefully they can put that right. But all right. So kawaii, and then what's the other one?
They have one coming up later. I'm not sure if I wrote it down because it was like longer and harder, but yeah, that's their deal. She encounters Harry in the Great Hall sucking some blood from a Hufflepuff. So that's the first like active vampirism we get. But I just thought that was the second mention of Hufflepuffs is just they're literally just a dead body for other people to feast on, which is pretty much their role in the other books. It's like, yeah, some Hufflepuff kid got killed by a Death Eater. How's Ron doing?
Yeah, right. Let's get back to real life here. Yeah, but that's, I mean, that pretty much makes him full out evil, right?
He killed another student.
Killed a human being. All right.
But then, so they start getting busy, and then McGonagall bursts in and does another Hogwarts adult thing that I really want to start using in my everyday life. All caps. Stop it now, you horny simpletons.
And that's, but that's Professor McGoggle.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Who I believe is like a chain franchise of, welding
wares. TW McGoggles, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Or a good time eatery.
Yeah, I used to do when I did stand up, I would challenge people like, how long can I make up names for fake fern bars before you stop me? I would just do like TJ Willy Whackers. And then. And then when people stop laugh, they go, stop now. It's like, okay, I'm done.
God.
Hey, look, man.
Yeah, McGoggles is a good one for that.
You had to fill 25 minutes.
And this chapter just had twice him saying, my scar hurt, and Voldemort, I had a vision of what happened to Draco. Voldemort has him bondage. And that happens at the beginning and end of the chapter, that sort of copy and paste text, which we saw happen, you know, obviously in Dwight David Thrash, happened once or twice in Shadow Moon, and it's happening again here.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, cut and paste of you could only see his red whites again. I think that's twice. Weird.
Chapter 13 is, I have a short out. The first thing I have is Dumbledore doing the adult speak again. They come to ask him for some help, and he says, what is it that you want now, you despicable snobs? He asked angrily.
I just had, for that one, my favorite description of, what was hi, you flirtily, said hi flirtily, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the follow-up to it, Sonic challenge for you. No, he said meanly. So could you give me a rendering of that? You can do it
no.
in... do it in your God, British accent.
Right. No.
All right. Maybe take your teeth out to try it again. All right.
So he gets angry, but then he starts to cry tears of blood. So it's just constant emotional whiplash for even the adults in this book. Then he had a brainstorm. And what his brainstorm is he casts a spell and sends them to Voldemort's lair. Oh. Where, I guess, because they've been told that he has Ron or has Draco in bondage.
Oh, right. And this is where he's a very, very curious version of the spell casting.
Oh, yes.
Alla Kedavra?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay.
And they heard that voice say Alla Kedavra, and then it was, you know, 127 periods, Voldemort. But the suspense of that is sort of undone by the fact that two sentences earlier, they were cast a spell and sent to Voldemort's lair.
Yeah, that does sort of, the lead is out there already. there's no suspense. But chapter 14, very strong, strong warning.
Okay.
Warning, all caps. This is after XXX666. Warning, some of dis chapta is extremely scray. Viaur excretion advised. So, that is Mr. Yuck sticker on this chapter. Look out.
Yeah, Mr. Yuck meets like the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt, yeah. In terms of...
This chapter is extremely scray. Viaur excretion advised. So please excrete and then read on.
So there's Snake Tail. I think it might be Worm Tail in the real book, who is, for this purpose, is 16. He says, they start shooting him with the gun, and he says, rid my sight, you despicable preps. So think about everything we know about Ebony. what she wears, what, you know, the only outfit she owns. So this guy, Worm Snake Tail, sees her and his first thought is prep. So she might need to lay it on even thicker if that's the type of reaction she's getting.
Right. Well, I'll bring it up again. When Macbeth sees the ghost, he says, "Avaunt and quit my sight." So rid my sight, you despicable wow. preps. Seems like a pretty much on-the-nose homage to the bard.
Well, speaking of homages, she stabs him in the heart and blood poured out of it like a fountain.
Yes.
And then he screams, "No!" And it does seem ridiculous, but you know, this was just 3 years after the vaunted Star Wars prequel trilogy ended with the exact same line and was meant to be taken seriously.
That's true. he screamed, "No," of course. He started screaming, well, he had already been screaming, and running around. Then he fell down and died. So I think that's... Oh, I wish Sounder had ended that way. Or
yeah, right. So. Old Yeller. And then she burst into tears, sadly.
Yes.
Voldemort, I think it's important to note, is always wearing high heels. They clack on the floor as he comes into the room to mourn Snake Tail. And then she sort of laments at this end of this chapter, "Everyone is in love with me. Why couldn't Satan have made me less beautiful?" I shouted angry. "Why can't I be just normal? It's a fucking curse." So this is sort of, she's been called a Mary Sue in all the sort of write-ups of this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to interpret that, but I guess this is sort of where she just lays it on thick, is that like, yes, no, I am, in case you were confused. I'm a perfect girl that everyone loves.
But also doing those, what are those weird asides, the get it's? You know, in the parenthetical, "Do you get it? Because I'm goth." There's a bunch of those, and there's one in here, like, "What's wrong, honey?" asked Draco, taking off his clothes. And then I won't read the rest of the sentence. "He had a sex pack."
Oh.
Get it? Because he's so sexa? I don't... What are those serving? Who are those? Is that just a staple in fanfic, and I'm not aware of it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're sort of like the equivalent of the, you know, David Foster Wallace footnotes.
Okay, but yeah, so probably a Shakespeare, David Foster Wallace, Dickens. Right, keep them coming.
We're all there.
Keep them coming.
Also the Mister. But yeah, they. I think that, you know, the major criticism of Twilight was that this is essentially how people react to Bella, right? Everyone is just into her from the start, despite the fact that she was such an uninteresting and sort of sad, boring character. But all these guys just lust after her and...
Right,
that's probably just a fanfic trope. I don't think she's necessarily making fun of Twilight here. I think she's imitating it.
Right. All right. I think we got to quickly whip through these last.
Okay.
Given our time, I'm looking at the clock. Are you looking at the clock?
I'm looking at the clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could also just like cut them and do them next time.
Well, listeners, let's get the phone. Let's light up the phone boards and get them to call in and ask them what we think we should do. I mean, chapter 15 is. I don't think I have any notes because I'm like, oh, man.
We can go through them fast. We'll do the highlights.
Okay. Yeah. You handle 15.
I'm checking it out. They go to they start to kiss like Hillary Duff. She says, "I fucking hate that bitch," and CMM in a Cinderella story.
Yes.
CMM is Chad Michael Murray. I have not seen Cinderella story. But it seems like she might be protesting a bit too much at this point with the Hillary Duff hate.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they see a poster saying that MCR would have a concert in Hogsmeade right then. We looked at each other all shocked, and then we went together. So put a sort of pin in that. This poster and concert it's advertising loom large over the next few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens more than once, and it's very confusing. But so chapter 16, this is where in the author's note, it's revealed that things are not well with Raven.
Mm.
And this is where it's sort of we get some metafiction here where the work itself is affected by her real life. And so the author's note says, "Raven, you suck, you fucking bitch. Give me back my fucking sweater. You're supposed to write this. Raven, what the fuck, you bitch? You're supposed to do this."
Wow. You sound like the maybe the grandpa in A Hard Day's Night, the Beatles.
I'm not familiar. Oh, but I've heard that's a great movie.
That's a great movie. Great movie. Maybe a little bit like him, but yeah. I keep it up, though, please.
Thank you. But so they ran happily to Hogsmeade. Then we saw the stage where Good Charlotte had played. We ran in happily. MCR was there playing Helena. And suddenly Gerard pulled off his mask. So did the others. We gasped. It wasn't them at all. It was Voldemort and the Death Dealers.
At this point, I did not know what was going on.
Well, but you can, you know. But they went to a MCR concert, and then they...
Sure, I've got that pictured exactly in my head, of course.
Yes. But the next line is then, "What WTF, Draco, I'm not going to a concert with you," I shouted angrily, "not after what happened to me next time." So she doesn't want to go to the concert, but in a real book, it'd be like, that was a dream sequence, or it's one of those moving posters they have at Hogwarts.
Oh, right, yep.
But anyway... And then it goes on in this chapter to say, BTW Willow, that fucking poser, got expelled. She failed all her classes and she skipped math. Author's note, Raven, you fucking suck. Fuck you. And then it says, it serves that bitch right, I said angrily. So this is the second time Willow was mentioned. Things did not go well for her.
Wow.
And then after she got expelled, Lupin did it with her because he's a necrophiliac. So Raven is just, I'm trying to think of a real life analog to this where like someone just, like a band kicks a member out and does a song about how much they suck about something. I'm sure there's something out there.
I think there are, who are some of the spiteful authors? Oh, now if I make another comparison, I was going to say like Gore Vidal or something used to skewer his friends.
Oh, wow.
So let's bring in Gore Vidal as another example of this book. Yeah,
but it's essentially like a rapper diss track at this point in time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Nas ethering Jay-Z.
Wow. So Raven / Willow, which neither of those are her actual name. So it's very, very...
But Raven is the main character's name in this, right? Ebony, Raven, Dementia, Hair, whatever? Isn't that part of her long name?
Yes, but her friend is Raven, right?
Yeah, but so the character named after Raven is not the character named Raven. It's the character named Willow, which I guess brings it all back to Willow being named Thorn Drumheller.
Right.
God, our brains have been broken.
Yeah, totally broken. All right, so chapter 17.
Well, so that ends with saying, oh, hey, BTW, I'm going to a concert with Draco and Hogsmeade tonight. And so to prep for that, they go to not fucking preps to prepare for that. They go to town where they buy a dress from Tom Riddle, who is also, you know, in the books, that's Voldemort. So anyway.
Wait, Tom Riddle?
Yeah, there's like a really crappy anagram where I am Tom Riddle spelled out like Lord Voldemort or something. That was like the reveal of the first book.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha. Man, I have so much to learn.
Chapter 17, they tell each other they look pretty kawaii again, with Willow. She's back and I guess she's alive and things have been made up, behind the scenes, which has compromised the artistic vision of the author. So it's sort of unfortunate, in that respect.
Very, very unfortunate. Oh, I'm reading my notes and going, I don't even know what I was saying.
All right. Hit me.
I'm just looking at, now we're into full, like, alternating between Ebony and Enaby.
Yeah.
And does that seem on purpose or something? What's happening there?
I mean, you didn't have autocorrect or anything. So I think, you know, this person is just writing these after their parents told them to go to bed and they're, you know, trying to, you know, dash them out when they should be studying. So.
All right. Well, here's a good, I'm just going to read the end of this chapter and then we should really... really need to move on. You moronic idiots, he shooted angstily. Enaby, I told you to kill vampire. Thou have failed, and now I shall kill thou and Draco. No, no, please, we begged sadly, but he took out his knife. Suddenly a gothic old man, not a gothic, a gothic old man flew as in the
influenza
sickness, in on his broomstick. He had long black hair and a long black bread. He was wearing a Blake robe that said Avril Lavigne on the back. He shotted Estelle and Voldemort ran away. It was, and at least in my version, runs over two lines, ellipses, Dumbledore. That's a lot to unpack.
It is.
Can you have any explanation for what's happening?
Why did Avril Lavigne?
You
know, that was my favorite part. Because obviously it's like the equivalent of a band t-shirt, you know, if it said MCR. But just the idea of an old man having a cape, a robe that just says Avril Lavigne.
He had a long black bread, too, which is an odd thing. Wow.
But yeah, so right before that is Voldemort has been performing and Gerard looked hot, but then Voldemort ripped off his mask and it was him and the Death Dealers. So,
And Death Dealers, which is D-E-E-L-R-E-L-E-R-S, are those from the book?
Well, Death Eaters are from the book, but...
Oh, Death Dealers is just, that's a spin. Okay.
I suppose, gotcha.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah, we also met Neville there, who is also named Dracola or Dracula. So they're just not very creative with their renamings here. He also converted to Satanism after his parents, he was kidnapped at birth. And his real family were vampires. And they died in a car crash. So
I would point out it actually took me a minute to, because it was Neville. And I was trying to make the connection of, what are they? Is this some sort of a birth metaphor or a, like Adam and Eve, navel? And damn it. It's just Neville.
Yep, you got to go with Occam's razor there.
Yeah, wow.
Chapter 18.
Chapter
18. The Great Hall has been redecorated. There were pink paint underneath the black paint, and there were pastors of poser bands everywhere, like Ashley Simpson and Backstreet Boys. And then they all discuss who's hot, but then a gothic old man with a black beard flew in. He was the same way who had chased away Voldemort yesterday. So like, oh, it's Dumbledore. He had normal tan skin, but was wearing white foundation, and he had dyed his hair black. Many period ellipses. Dumbledore, we all gasped. So they are not the brightest bulbs in the barrel, but I guess last chapter they were smoking crack before the concert, so it could explain some of that, I guess.
I will point out the line that you read. He had normal tan skin, which I don't know what that, but he was wearing white foundation and he had dyed. So, oh my God, he's dead because it's spelled dyed. Right. His hair, like the rabbit, black. So that's a lot of mistakes in one sentence to get.
Yeah, well, that could explain why they didn't recognize him. So yeah, it's he says I've given the room a makeover, what do you think? And everyone from the poser table in Gryffindor started to cheer. So I just liked that there was a poser table. It's not a term I've used since probably middle school, but do the posers know they're at the poser table? I'd like them to dig deep. But then we get a really good how do you say it, bon mot, just a little interjection here from Willow. She says, I bet he's having a midlife crisis. So I'm just glad Willow is back. She's throwing in some one-liners here.
So his midlife crisis was to put white makeup on his normal tan skin,
mm-hmm.
and to paint the room?
It looked like he painted the room, but then he painted over it because you could see the posters underneath the black paint of posers like Ashley Simpson.
So she went to the Great Hall, great as in a grate in front of a fireplace.
Cheese grater, yeah.
There all the walls were painted black and the tables were black too, but you could see that there was pink paint underneath the black paint.
Pink pant underneath the black pant, yeah.
And
I don't know.
And there were pastors of poser bands.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so.
What?
There are poser band pastors everywhere, so I guess the poser table's happy about that. But Dumbledore is having a midlife crisis where he is putting on a cape that says Avril Lavigne and putting up posters of Ashley Simpson in the Great Hall.
Okay.
So,
All right, I get. I mean, that does sound like a serious midlife crisis. If I did that, you would be very concerned about me.
It would be very concerning, and I would turn to Willow and be like, "We gotta get him some help." But I'm sure it will all be explained in a later chapter. It will all make sense.
Okay, good.
We're on the last chapter here.
All right, yeah.
Chapter 19. It says, "I'm not okay. I promise." That is the second one that's been subtitled. So every day, everyone is angrily thinking about Dumbledore. We are all so fucking pissed off. I had one thing to look forward to, the MCR concert. It had been postponed so we could all go. You've been.
They were at the concert, right?
They've gone to it twice. Both times, Voldemort is, Gerard Way has ripped off his mask, revealing that he's Voldemort and the Death Dealers.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's a problem in the... in the editing there.
Yeah. But yeah, she was probably so upset with Willow that, you could understand a few continuity errors.
Well, I mean, fool me once, right? Fool me twice. But going to three MCR concerts does seem... it's almost like that level of the stuff that Bugs Bunny would do where he would trick someone into moving to an island and building a house, and then they'd be putting the roof on and they'd stop in the middle and go... hey, wait a minute. I'm at my third MCR concert. And it's him again? It's right. The Death Dealers. Damn it.
Can they just get through one performance of the song Helena without a mask being ripped off?
It's a short chapter. So what happens in 19?
She starts out, she took out a cigarette and starts to smoke pot, but then Hagrid appears and she angrily drops her pot. And then he asks what she's wearing to the concert. But she's shocked. You know who MCR is?
Wow.
You know who MCR is? I gasped. And it's like, one, I have a pretty good picture of what she's going to be wearing to this concert at this point in time. You know, she's not going to be wearing a hot dog costume from I Think You Should Leave or something like that. He's going to be. And number two, like, please tamp down the dramatic reactions. Like, Hagrid is an admitted Satanist. He's probably a goth as well. He probably knows who MCR is.
Right.
My God.
Here's a couple parentheticals, though, that I might need some help with. This is describing Draco, Drac. I never know what to say.
Yeah.
Draco or Noir.
Draco.
I don't know. Draco.
Yeah.
He was wearing black baggy pants, a black MCR t-shirt, and a black tie. Get it? Instead of tie, because I'm gothic. I don't get it. I was wearing a black leather low-cut top with chains all over it. All over it, a black leather mini. With chains all over it, a black leather mini. Black high-held boots and a cross-belly thing. My hair was all up in a messy, really high bun like Amy Lee in Gong Under. Email me if you want to see the pic. So the two parentheticals just confuse me. Well, I don't get it. And a black dye? Oh, black dye. Just death?
Yeah.
Because I'm tie. Because I'm goth? Oh, God.
If she's going to make pun jokes, it's important to clean up the spelling errors and the things that are not pun jokes.
Right, yes, because that's a lot of misleading going on there.
But I want to say you are on the record if you want to see the pic of Amy Lee. They should just email you.
Okay. Please. I'll get inundated.
Oh, man. We're going to have to make a playlist of all the songs that appear in here, a Spotify list, and share them with people.
So
we can be up to speed. And that's, I think that says, Hagrid says, I just saw there was a concert that a lot of the goths and punks were going to. Anyway, Draco has a surprise for you. And so we end on a cliffhanger.
What will his surprise be? We've just seen him, though, right?
They've been to the concert twice, yes. I mean, he's also died, and, you know, he's in her band. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say what a surprise could be. Although, based on what we know is upcoming, maybe he's knows what Marty McFong is dong. Or whatever
I guess
it was.
That is coming up. Oh, man. That is one of the most perplexing things that I've ever attempted to get through.
It lives up to the warning I issued 14 years ago. I think we are all dumber, but it was pretty fun.
Whew. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll try to read more closely next time. It's, you can understand how it's not necessarily in my wheelhouse as a book.
Yeah.
There's a lot. But, yeah. I mean, if this were a book about...
You don't have to explain how it's not in your wheelhouse. I think we can acknowledge that we don't endorse or support anything in here.
Well, but, I think if the author is listening and wants to write another book about, like, Rush documentaries or Richard III or Macbeth or Dickens, I'd be up for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a worthwhile contest is rewrite a classic of the canon in this style.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. If you have those, email them in. We can, if you rewrite any of these great things, books we're all familiar with, we can do a separate mailbag of those, I would say.
That would be fun.
Let's do some quick dumb sentences. We'll save emails for separate things. This is way too long.
A sentence begins with a capital letter. A capital letter is a letter that's big. A capital letter is not a small letter. A capital letter is big, big, big. A sentence ends with a period. Or an exclamation,
I mean,
or a
even
question
doing word. Dumb sentence of the week is kind of.
I think we did have people say, "I submit the entirety."
Yes.
Someone suggested we do a sane or normal sentence of the week. Melody suggested most sane sentence of the week. She did not submit one herself, though. So you got to you issue a big challenge like that, you got to rise to the occasion here, because I don't know what I would pick.
Yeah, that's a good question. Are there any sentences that could be in a real book, I guess, would be the challenge. Maybe a few. I woke up the next day in my coffin. I see in my vision right here that, okay, I guess that could be in a book.
Sure. Not a good book, but, I confessed. That's a sentence. Anyway, these are the dumb sentences of the week. We will do these. A lot of these are by our Patreon supporters. Thank you, everyone on Patreon, patreon.com/372pages. This first one comes from Elizabeth. We talked to each other in silence for the rest of the movie. That was glossed over. That was when they were watching something that was hard to even decipher, but it turned out to be The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, right.
I think
right,
that was Bloody Mary and Ebony watching that. Justin submitted, "Hi, Draco," I said in a depressed voice. Hi, Draco, with an exclamation mark. Josh submitted, "I may be a Hogwarts student," Hagrid paused angrily, "but I am also a Satanist." That was a Hall of Famer. IJC submitted, "Vampire was in the hair of magic creatures." He said, "I don't know quite what that sentence is supposed to mean, and I'm not going to try and figure it out." You could append that to just about every sentence. Amanda submitted, "In the Great Hall, I ate some Count Chocula cereal with blood instead of milk and a glass of red blood." She said, "That's not any stupider than others, but it was chosen by virtue of being the first sentence I felt compared to show with my husband." Heather submitted, "Stop it now, you horny simpletons." Oh, man. There's got to be that's got to be used in real life by people. Andrew submitted, "Voldemort got the dude you're so retarded look on his face." He said, "I'm surprised he can pull that look off despite not having a nose." Janelle submitted, "Then he put his thingy in my you-know-what and we did it for the first time." She said, "Just imagine if this person also wrote The Mister, it would have been so much better." And Justine submitted, the other one. "Haji me mashite, girl," she said happily. "She specs Japanese, so do I. That means how do you do in Japanese?" I have my doubts.
Yeah, I seriously doubt it.
What do you have?
I just lost it. Read yours and I'll find it. I was scrolling.
I have two that we didn't cover. "Joel is so fucking hot," I said to Draco, pointing to him as he sung, filling the club with his amazing voice. And then I have this one, because this is the one that could turn up as a normal sentence. "Anyway, you need the context. Anyway, I went downstairs feeling all sad and depressed as usual. I did some advanced biology work." Just a reminder that she is a student and they are taking classes.
That's true. Well, mine would be, and again, it's tough to read. It's also got that visual aspect to it. but it is Bloody, a Bloody Mary, spelled with an I, knotted Enreg Gedek Lackley, OMFG, totally let's go shopping. So that's, I mean.
What is it supposed to mean?
I think it's supposed to say Bloody Mary nodded energetically, but it's half of them are uppercase and half of them are lower, and then it's horrifically misspelled as Enregetic Lackily. OMFG, totally let's go shopping is all just mashed together. So
Enregetic Lackily sounds like something like a Dr. Demento song or something.
Oh, wow. That is madness.
Yeah, talk about brain cells that I'm now lacking. Oh, well, that was fun.
Yeah, utter madness. Well, people, hang with us. Again, this is a... Not much longer.
But I'm curious to see where it goes.
Well, Marty McFly is showing up, so...
Yes, he's...
Or was
it spelled... rearing his head.
Marty McFly or something?
I have it right here. Morty McFly. Okay. Yeah, that was well before Rick and Morty, so...
Morty McFly. Out of its time. Hey, Morty, you're here. All right.
All right.
Well, this has been a good one, yes. Folks. 372 pages. We'll never get back. Michael J. Nelson.
Connor LaStoca. So. I'm Nidoke, I promise.
So long.
Bye.